taking a quick step away from you asked for it. I'm working on a sermon from one of your questions. It's going to take some elaborate visuals and what have you to make sense. And so I want to do that. Take your Bible. We are starting tonight in Ephesians 4. We're going to talk about increasing our measure. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to do some spoilers. First off, I'm going to try to explain. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Everybody grab a Bible. Ephesians is in the New Testament. You can use your phone. Feel free. I like paper. I always have. I'm old school like that, if you haven't noticed. But I do have a Bible app or two on my phone. Ephesians 4. Tonight, I'm going to explain who the Holy Spirit is. I'm also going to explain how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm also going to, you'll understand this next phrase in a minute and when I get into it, but I'm going to talk about how to turn your cup into a bucket, all right? It'll make fun and you'll smile about that later, all right? Take your Bibles, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Focusing back on verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Let's pray. Father, help us make sense of this tonight. Write it upon our hearts, Holy Spirit, that we might know you, might understand how you work in our life, and how we may surrender ourselves to your control in Jesus' name. Amen. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he is God. I mean, he is the we serve a triune God. The Bible teaches in that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but all three are one God. It's a compound singularity. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter, in dealing with Ananias and Sapphira, says, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" The Holy Ghost is not a force like on Star Wars. He's a real person, okay? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Anyway, he goes on to scold them, and he says, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." The Holy Spirit of God is God, just as Jesus is God and the Father is God. Actually, in 1 John 5, 7, all three are mentioned together. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." He's also mentioned this way in Matthew 28, 19. He's mentioned this way in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, that he is just as much God as the Son, just as much God as the Father, and the three are one. Now, you understand that you and I are made in his image, God's image, and we are a triune being. We are body, soul, and spirit, and our Father in heaven is not just the Father. It's one God, but it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, when you do a study in the Bible, like if you go to the website Knave's Topical Bible or use a topical Bible, what you'll find is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is eternal. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, he is all-powerful, Luke 1 and verse 35. He's everywhere all at once, omnipresent, Psalm 139 and verses 7 through 12. He's omniscient. He knows everything, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11. So these are some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He was there at the beginning, right along with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Holy Spirit had the first breath that created the first wave of the ocean. He was there when when God made Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became an eternal soul. The Holy Spirit was there. He gave life to man. He sustains us, Psalm 104 says, and he strives with us. Means that when we're not doing right, it's the Holy Spirit going, hey, wake up, I'm talking to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has a relationship with God the Son. He was predicted by God the Son that when Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit would come down. That he was there at conception. He anointed God, Christ. He certified everything Christ taught and did. He led Christ. He was there when he was crucified. He's the one that resurrected him from the dead, Romans 8 tells us, and would come after Christ ascended. Now, we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you know the Lord as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has indwelled you. He has sealed you. He is the one that regenerated us. He's the one that fills us. He's the one that teaches us all things, John 14 tells us. He gives us gifts like abilities to serve the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life, and He does assign us tasks. He empowers us to witness. Have you ever been talking to somebody and the words just come, and you're like, wow, where'd that come from? Boy, that's just the right word at just the right time. Well, that was the Holy Spirit of God. He also produces fruit in our life, Galatians 5 tells us. And He restrains the spirit of Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2. But the thing about the Holy Spirit is, our sin grieves Him. Look at Ephesians 4 again and verse number 30. Now, you back up to verse 20. He has been talking about sins, specific things in Ephesians 5, and he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, verse 20, if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. And he goes on to talk about how you put off the old things in your life and you put on the new man which is created in holiness. And verse 25 says, well, what does that look like? Well, that's putting away lying, speaking truth, and because we're members one of another. But by not being angry, but not allowing that to cause us to sin, and neither giving place to the devil. Instead of stealing, we're to work with our hands and do that which is good. We're not to let corrupt communication come out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up. So he's talking about how our lives, our sin specifically, grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever had your spirit crushed? I mean, I've had my thumb crushed. You know what I'm talking about? I was working underneath a chair, and I was trying to tighten something, and it slipped, and I smashed my thumb, and that thing filled up with blood. And even though I took a drill bit real fast and cut a hole in it and got it to drain, it turned black, and I lost the nail. You know what I'm talking about? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Have you ever had your spirit crushed, whether you were bullied or rejected or betrayed, or somebody laughed at your idea and you just kind of pulled back? You know what I mean? You just kind of pull back. They called you something, or they dismissed you, or they dismissed your ideas as stupid, and you kind of pull back. That's grieving. That's how the Holy Spirit feels when we willfully, now I'm not talking about accidentally, I'm talking about willfully choose to sin. We grieve Him. You know, it's kind of like when being in a marriage, you know, there's been times when I've said things I shouldn't have, and it's caused Mrs. Mix to grieve. You know, her spirit grieves, and she kind of pulls back. And we grieve the Holy Spirit by the way we treat other people. We grieve Him. It hurts Him. It upsets the Lord when we treat people poorly. Look at verse 31 again. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is the desire to see other people hurt. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We wound each other with our words, whether it's husband to wife or parent to child or sibling to sibling. We can be very hurtful. And the Holy Spirit of God grieves when we do that. We also grieve the Holy Spirit when we ignore God's word, when we don't want to read it, when we're too busy. It's like we're saying we're giving God the silent treatment. Don't talk to me. I ain't got time for you. Right? That's what it's like. God wants to hear from His children. The Bible says this, that God wants to hear. He wants to talk to you through the word of God. This is how God speaks to us. And when we're like, oh, I don't got time for that, for it, or it's foolish, or I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to go. And what you're doing is you're just giving God the hand. I'm too busy. I don't have time for you. People do that to me. I was knocking on doors over here off Kings Highway, and I rang the doorbell camera. And I'm not kidding. I looked up just out of habit through the side window, and there's somebody sitting at the kitchen table with their back to the door. They pick up their Ring camera. They hit the button. I tell them who I am. They said goodbye, and they hung up on me. Didn't even come to the door. You know what I'm saying? It was a guy, too. Yeah, I can understand a woman not want to answer the door for a guy, but it's a big old guy. And I'm just like, oh, he's like, get lost, you know? And that's what it's like. We grieve God, the Spirit, when we ignore His word. We're also grieved the Spirit when we don't want His influence in our life. You know what I'm talking about. There's that little voice in your head that says, don't. And you go, but. And he goes, you know what I'm talking about? And you go, yeah, but, huh? The Bible says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, that means if you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives inside you, let us also walk in the Spirit. We ignore his presence. We treat him though he's brainless and doesn't know what he's talking about. It grieves the Holy Spirit when he tries to stop us from doing something stupid or tries to get us to pause to think or give us a little, hey, you ought to turn left instead of right, one of those kind of things. And we go, ah, phooey, you know. You know, we do that sometimes to our spouses and our kids, but we do it to our own peril. Another way we grieve the Holy Spirit is by not being grateful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will that we give thanks. The very next verse after that is quench not the Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. You know, nothing hurts the spirits more than when he moves and works on our behalf and we don't even think to say thank you. My friend Mark Bishop was up on the roof just thinking, you know, he's Superman. And he was nailing on a shingle that blew off and he fell 30 feet. 30 feet. Hit the ground, couldn't feel nothing, used Siri to call for help. And the whole family just started praying, started contacting people. And by the time they got him looked at in the hospital, he could feel. He still had a whale of a concussion. And I just spent some time praising God for his grace. He should have been dead. He should have been a whole lot worse. And so when the Holy Spirit does something in our lives and we just ignore it like it's circumstance, happenstance, no big deal. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Well, Brother Mix, I do some of this stuff. Well, how do I fix this? Well, it starts with confession and repentance. What does that mean? When I offend you, I should come to you and say, look, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I told this in Sunday school, I made a joke on Thanksgiving Day. I said something to Brother Ryan, and it sounded funnier in my head. You ever had one of those moments where it sounded funnier in your head? Man, I said something kind of cruel, and I didn't realize it till, you know, anyway. I immediately got, the Holy Spirit went, that was dumb. And I went, oh, I'm sorry, Brother Ryan, that was bad, man, that's bad, I'm sorry. I mean, it's funny, but it's sad. I mean, I should have said that. You think about how terrible. Oh, you haven't done it? You haven't opened your mouth before thinking, huh? And your tongue flaps out there, and now it's out there, and you can't take it back. But if it's one thing to say you're sorry, it's another thing to say you're sorry and stop the behavior. Just like when we grieve our wife's spirit, it takes weeks of sweet fellowship and comforting and affirming words and time spent before they're willing to put themselves out there again. Holy Spirit, same way. First, confess, repent, go to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Yeah, but I told him I was sorry last week. Every single time you need to apologize. Not to me. You don't confess nothing to me. I don't need to know. But the Holy Spirit knows, so talk to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the next step beyond that is godly living. If trust is going to be restored and you've wounded the Holy Spirit, you got to do right. So, all right, so that's who the Holy Spirit is. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. But the Bible talks about us being filled with the Holy Spirit. What that means is letting him control our lives. Let me give you an example. Do you realize you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? You realize that, right? You don't know what you're going to face at 8:05 when you leave the parking lot. Holy Spirit does. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what's going on tomorrow. He knows what you need tomorrow. You ever go to a job site and you didn't bring the right tools? You know how frustrating that is? Because you thought you knew what you needed. You thought you picked up the right stuff. Or you've driven 20 miles to have a meeting only to leave your binder with all your notes and your file back at the office. You're like, ooh. Huh? The Holy Spirit knows what you need tomorrow. And he's ready to tell you if you'll ask him. How to be filled with the Spirit is to turn ourselves over to him. You ever heard that hymn? It's 425 in our hymnal. I think it's Miss Gracie's favorite. It's called Fill My Cup, Lord. Is that her favorite? She sang it several times in this church over the last 10 years. You know what I'm saying? It says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. You don't want me to sing it. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Do you understand the great promises that the Bible has when fully submitted to the Holy Spirit, what He'll do in our life if we'll just give it to Him? Well, how do I do that, preacher? How do I turn myself? How do I surrender to the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at some things. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 5 and look at verse number 17. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You need to know what God wants. You need to know what God thinks, and then you'll find that in the Bible. It's easy, clear, plain, and straight. But there's a word here at the beginning of verse 18. It's the word and. So he's connecting the two verses. He says, what's the will of the Lord is? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's talking about something controlling you. Verse 17 and 18, well, actually, you start up in chapter 5 and verse 1. He starts talking about boundaries you put in your life that God has placed in your life, saying, listen, listen, listen. What's on the other side of that line? Not good for you. Not good for you. In El Paso, Texas, there were rock walls around everybody's house. Wood was so expensive, it was insane. They didn't even hardly carry any wood at the lumberyard. But I'll tell you what, there was rock everywhere. I mean, you just rock everywhere. So they'd build, instead of putting up privacy fences, they'd build rock walls 5-6 feet high. And those guys were good at it, man. They were straight and they didn't, you know, any of this kind of, it was awesome, right? But I always told my boys, I said, listen, as long as you're inside the backyard, you can do whatever you want. Dig a hole to China. I don't care. Just don't cross the wall. Because over here is a pack of what are those little rotten dogs that are worthless? Chihuahuas, that's what they are. And a whole pack of them, they'll eat ya. And then over the back wall is a 15-foot drop into a concrete pool. And then there's a Rottweiler on this side. And I said, now look, these walls are there for your protection. You're not ready for what's over there. And in fact, on a couple of those things, you'll never be ready. It's outside the original equipment manufacturer's specs. So stay within the boundaries. Number one, realize you grieve the Holy Spirit by sin. So confess it. And then number two, stay within the boundaries. Wherein is excess? Verse number 11. I don't know what happened. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:15 that the society he lived in could no longer blush when they saw sin. And I believe America has lost its ability to blush at sin. How do I be filled with the Spirit? Number one, confess your sins. Number two, paint within the lines. Stay within the boundaries God has set up because He did it for your good. See, where Adam and Eve got messed up was where the devil went. You know, see, God said you can have everything, but that one thing. And the devil went, isn't that terrible? God is so oppressive. What a fascist. He won't let you have that one thing. The devil's really good at focusing you on that one or two things that you know you shouldn't have and making you want it. Shiny stuff and advertisements. And God saying, look, I love you. And what's on the other side of that boundary? No good for you. It's outside the spec. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't let anything come into your life that takes control of you, or that would cause you to break down your defenses to where you start living outside the boundaries. You think, well, that's what I've always been told. Christianity is so restrictive. No, you can go help yourself. You go right ahead. You help yourself. But don't, my mama used to say, you break your leg, don't come running to me. That's what my mother would say. You get what you get when you cross God's lines. You get what you get. And you say, that's horrible. No, I've crossed those lines. I have scars to prove it. The suit may hide some of them, but they're still there. The truth is, guys, there's a semicolon there after the word excess, because he's about to tell you how not to cross the boundaries. How do I be filled with the Spirit? Verse number 19, you got to put the good stuff in. You can't just take the bad stuff out. You can't just say, no, don't stop. You got to put the good in. Look at verse 19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see that word speak? God is trying to show you the importance of words. And God commands us to speak psalms into ourselves. You know, the second most important book in your house needs to be a hymn book. And if you don't have one, we'll give you one. I mean, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Remember that song? Come thou fount of every blessing. You know what the third verse says? Prone to wander, Lord. Oh, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it, oh Lord. Seal it for thy courts. You understand? We're to talk to ourselves. What are you putting in your ears lately? What goes in there? What's going in there right now when you think about it? What's on your radio stations? You say, oh, now he's going to meddle into ungodly. No. For you to think it doesn't affect you, you're a fool. I don't listen to news radio anymore, except on the 8s, because that's when you get traffic. But other than that, I don't listen to them. Why? Because most of it's biased. All of it's biased, and none of it matters. God's still on the throne. You say, well, do you know what they're doing in the UK? Can't fix it. I can't fix it. If you get me activated on something on the radio, I'm going to jail. Right? How about I pray and let God deal with it? How about I pray and let God deal it? And then number two, go soul winning. You want to fix America's problems? You win people to Christ, it'll change the way they think. It'll change what they value. It'll change the way they vote. Then it says psalms. You know, God put 150 chapters of psalms in the Bible. Listen, read a psalm every day. I love Psalm 19. I'm trying to memorize it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And it goes on. I love Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall ascend or stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. I love these psalms. They're a blessing. You know, when I'm going through a dark time, I read the psalms. Because it reminds me, God's my sword and my shield. God is my high tower. He's my safety place I run to is God. He is the one who defends me. He's the one who provides. That's what these psalms say. That God is my God and nothing shall happen to me that he doesn't aware of and can't help. Then we read the hymns. It says psalms and hymns. Songs that speak about the praise of God's character. Like, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Or, to God be the glory, great things he hath. You need to be reminded of the things God has done in your life. Then it says in verse chapter 5 and verse 19, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. When's the last time you just sang a song? You know, you don't got to be a choir member. God's not interested in tone and pitch or talent. He just wants to hear his children sing and sing to him. Some of the songs we sing are testimony songs that tell other people how great God is. And some songs, God is the audience. Like, great is thy faithfulness. That's God. You're singing to God. Now you're ministering to his heart. You're singing a song to the one who saved you. I used to around singing Trust and Obey. I had a lady say to me, well, that's an old song. Man, that's just old. And I said, yeah, but it still works every single time. Just trust God and obey. God is not interested in your tone. Make melody in your heart. Hum, whistle, play music. But music is such a powerful medicine. So what are you listening to? Are you listening to songs that inspire your soul, that lift you up? Or the ones that make your mind wander in places it shouldn't? You think to yourself, well, now listen, you're telling me, no, If you don't believe it's a powerful medicine to your soul, then I dare you to change and see what it does to you. You know, when we were getting ready to come out of the basketball, to play basketball for our games in high school, we did not listen to Easy Listening 107. Mm-mm. We listened to the Hard Rock station. You know, we come out of there listening to Twisted Sister, and we're not going to take it anymore. Because we were fired up, buddy. We were ready to fire up and tear off heads. That's what we went out there to do. You don't get that from the Easy Listening 107, you know. And you think, well, that's just silly. Change your station. See what it does to you. Number five, you want to be filled with the Spirit, give thanks. Look at Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By giving thanks, you are recognizing where that blessing came from. You're actually verbally saying, God, I know it's you. I know you gave me that. Ask God what he thinks you ought to thank him for. You know, you can actually talk to God and pause and he'll answer. He'll bring things to mind. God, is there somebody I need to seek forgiveness from? Ooh, that got scary in a minute, didn't it? Is there somebody I ought to go apologize to? Is there somebody I need to forgive and let it go? Let you collect on that debt? See, those are powerful questions, but you serve a powerful God. So tell God thank you. House and riches are the inheritance of a father's, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Have you ever thanked the Lord for your spouse? There's some widowers out there that love to change places with you. There's some widows out there that love to change places with you. Gratitude is a spirit-filled attitude. Number six, submit yourselves one to another. Look at verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're not too big to help other people. We're not too big to learn from other people. The verse is not just talking about your superiors. It's talking about the people around you that can't do anything for you. Be a blessing to them. Jesus said, if you love them that love you, what reward have you? James said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Now, all of this opens up your spirit so that the Holy Spirit of God can really fill. And it's going to be evidenced. And Luke says it in Luke 1 that you'll be a blessing to others. And you'll be thankful. And you'll be spoken. People will feel the love of Christ coming through you. 1 John 4:20. You'll exhibit the joy of the Lord as you surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit. As you let him lead you. What's going to happen is he's going to fill you. And you are going to have joy. Joy is not about your circumstances. Joy is about the God who's in charge of your circumstances. Goodness. You won't be stingy with your benevolence. You'll have peace. Peace that passes understanding, Colossians 3:15. You'll be long-suffering. In other words, you're going to be able to be patient and still be kind with the shortcomings of others. How do I do that, preacher? Be filled with the Spirit. Die to self and be filled with the Spirit. What do you mean? Stop always got to have it your way all the time. How about we do it God's way? Patient and still kind. Be gentle. Be gentle in the face of ugliness. You can still be gentle. You can say no to temptation, Galatians 5:24 and 25. You can have your emotions under control, Ephesians 5 and verse 9 through 11. See, Jesus was always filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus always desired to see people saved because that's what the Holy Spirit is about. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, when you turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit, what happens is your heart lines up with God's heart, and all of a sudden you care about what God cares about. Jesus comes into each of our lives trying to find fruit, trying to see that we can utilize what he's given us for his glory. Christ had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 3. Now, I realize he was God, and he didn't have a cup or a bucket. He had a dump truck or something bigger, but the truth is, look at John 3 and verse 31. Verse 34 is your text. I guess we should look at that. For whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Meaning that God the Son had the power of the Holy Spirit. But we limit God. Listen to what it says in Psalm 78 and verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And limited the Holy one of Israel. Meaning that our attitude and our willfulness, God will not make us do anything. We have free will. But if we willingly turn ourselves over to Him, He has freedom to do, He can to do whatever He wants to do in our life. And the problem is we don't know God well enough to trust Him for more. I want you to think about it. You have a thimble, you got a communion cup, right? Then you got a big gulp and you got a bucket. How would you classify your faith and trust in God today? Are you tired of the thimble? You have a big gulp size? Is that? I mean, seriously. I know when I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about God. So I didn't really trust Him for a lot of things, like to follow His advice with money, or to follow His advice in relationships, or to follow His advice in how I behave and interact with people. I didn't know Him that well. So when I read His word, I wasn't really sure. I wasn't sure what I should do. But the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more I got to know God through His written word, the more I trusted Him. The more I trusted Him for. Jesus had an unlimited measure of the Spirit. In fact, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him. And Christians receive the Holy Spirit's influence by measure. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works, is given to every man to profit with all. But He decides how that's going to work. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. The Holy Spirit decides how this is going to work. And I think to myself, that phrase in Romans 12:6, according to the proportion of faith, how much do I actually trust God? Do I trust Him more today than I did last year? Well, if I say yes, and I believe I can say that, well, why do you? Well, I know Him better. I've got another year's experience of walking with Him and praying and watching Him work in my life. And you know, when you're around somebody and you're interacting with them, you get to know them pretty well, right? You've got people at work that you've been working with now for a year or two, and you kind of get known. Brother Isaiah just started a new job. Don't know a soul. Having to learn from scratch, everybody, and their character, their personality, right? Some of you have been on the same job working with the same team for quite a while. And you know them because you've watched how they've acted. See, the longer we walk with God, we see how He acts and reacts to things. And we can learn to trust Him because He never acts contrary to His word or His character. And the more I know Him, the more I trust Him, the greater I can say, yes, Lord, I'll let You tell me how to handle that part of my life. How much do you believe Him? And I think to myself, God, I want more. How do I increase my measure? I ask for it. I ask for it. God will give you large, will allow this Holy Spirit to take more and more of you as you let Him, as you go here. I mean, is there areas of your life that it's off limits to God? There's like yellow tape that says, you know, no caution, no trespass. I mean, I've been invited to some of your homes. Not all of them, but some of you have invited me to your homes, and you've let me in the front door. And maybe you've let me into the living room, but you've not let me go past that. There's like, you know, places in your home that you don't want me to see. And that's cool. I'm not trying to look at your dirty laundry, but you know what I'm saying. You're going to have guests over this Christmas, and you're going to yourself, I'm going to address that area before Mother gets here, or I'm going to clean that area up, or I'm going to dust all that stuff before my Aunt so-and-so gets here. I promise I'm going to clean up this stuff before the visitors get here. Yeah, right? Right? Knowing that we're really just going to shove it in a box, right? We're going to shove it in a box, and we're going to put it out in the garage, or put it in the basement, or God help us, put it in that junk drawer and lock the door. And we have places in our life like that where God is not allowed to have say. Maybe it's the way you were raised. Maybe you've got an area in your life that, you know, this is how I was raised, and this is how I do things, and it works okay for me, and I certainly don't want the drama it would cause back with my family were I to change. How do I increase my measure of the Holy Spirit? Number one, I ask for it. Number two, I yield myself. I humble my pride and I go, yes, Lord, I'll obey you in this area. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 8, it says, be not stiff-necked as your fathers, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. Enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God. Resist the lust of the flesh. Choose to respond in the spirit, the Bible says. In Romans 6:12, let not sin reign. Don't let sin be in charge of your life, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, give yourselves over, submit yourself unto God. Let God have control. Let God have first place, as if you were those alive from the dead. You do choose who you turn control over to. That's what Romans 6:16 says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So how do you do? What's that look like? Well, start your day off first with the Lord. Before you even get out of bed, say, Lord, good morning. Good morning. You know where I'm going today. You know what I need. And so I trust you. I'm listening for your voice today. Before you even get out of bed, reach over, grab that phone, open up that Bible app, read. Turn the light on, sit up in your bed, grab that Bible off the nightstand. Read something. Say, Lord, speak to me. I need you today. Yield to him in the morning. Yield to him before every decision. Yield and say, God, what would you have me to do? Stop and pause for a second. What comes to you is what you do. Yield before you speak to someone, especially someone you've got a grief with. Yield before you everything, because God needs to take charge and you don't. Want what's right, hate what's not right. Hebrews 1:8 tells us. And he'll give you the oil of gladness and purity of heart. That's what he says he'll do. But the question really is up to us. How much do we really want it? You know, the world travels around the sun at just the right distance. But we want to drive. Right? We want to drive. We think we know what's best so often that we want to be the one at the wheel. You say, well, preacher, I get car sick. Yeah, I get car sick when you drive too. But the truth is, do we want more of him, or are we satisfied so that he doesn't so we don't have to give up any more of us? And that's really what it comes down to. Do I want more of him? Sure do, yes. But do I have to give up more of me? Yeah, pretty much. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means I need to let him be the one in charge. I need to let his word be written on my heart, and so that I know him and I can trust him more. And you do have to protect your own spirit. There are some relationships in your life that are toxic. You need to put up a boundary there. But I can tell you right now, brothers and sisters, God can't work through a grump. So Daniel 6, it says of Daniel, he had an excellent spirit about him. Do you have an excellent spirit? I mean, or are you just like licking an ashtray to be around? There's one at every office. And if you don't know who that is, would the people at your office say you have an excellent spirit? I think if you'll find that if you're singing to yourselves in psalm, hymns, and spiritual song, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, you're going to have an excellent spirit. Because the Holy Spirit of God is going to take the words of that song and the melodies and lift your soul and inspire your spirit. And people are going to want to be around you. And that is going to give you the opportunity to share with them why you have a song in your heart and a reason to sing. Isolation will not help you. You know, when Elijah was going to go to heaven in a whirlwind, God gave him a friend to be with named Elisha, who went all the way to the disembarking point where the fiery chariot came and got him. And he kept saying to Elisha, listen, just stay here. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave you. See, that's why you have a church. That's why you have Christian brothers and sisters to come alongside you and to encourage you and to lift you up. This is not a place that's a memorial to saints. It's a hospital for sinners where we all come. We need fellowship. We need worship. We need encouragement. If you've come to hide in this crowd, you've come to the wrong place because you're going to get hugged. You're going to get greeted. You're going to get loved. Elisha got the blessing of a double portion because he hung around with brothers and sisters who'd gone through stuff. So I come back to the same thing. How do you like your cup? You have all the Holy Spirit. Listen. You got all the Holy Spirit there is, but the truth is he didn't get all of you. And he's not going to do any more than he's doing right now in your life until you let go of some of those sections and let him have them and expand your cup. Because he gives it by measure, the Bible says. He does it by proportion. So the more I trust him, the more he gets control. The more I believe what he says to be true and trust his character, the more parts of my life I let him have. And he magnifies himself through me to greater and greater ways. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You can live with a communion cup or you can live with a bucket. It's up to you. You can stay where you are in your walk with God. You can be satisfied, but you're not getting any more blessings than you already got because he can't trust you with them. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And Father, try as we might, none of us are perfect. And Father, none of us are great at putting the flesh down and turning ourselves over to the Spirit. None of us are experts at it. None of us have done it with consistency to the point where people just flock to us for the gospel. Father, help us tonight to just take the next step in our journey to just turn ourselves over to you. Father, whether it's areas where we're wounded and hurt or whether it's areas where we're unsure, we pray, Father, tonight that you would put your hand on a part of our life and just speak to us and say, let me have that. And Father, tonight as you do, we trust you. We know you love us and want what's best for us. So tonight, Father, the best we know how, we give ourselves to you anew and afresh. If there's one here tonight, if they died, they're not sure heaven's their home. I ask God you give them the courage to come forward and to receive Christ as their Savior and walk out assured there's nothing going to take them away from being in heaven with you when they die. And Father, for us, your children, fill our cup tonight and grow it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, this is a time to pray, a time to respond to the message. If you're lost, step forward. Let's settle that tonight. But if you know the Lord is your Savior, whatever's burdening you down, it's keeping you from the fullness of the Spirit, give it to him and say, God, I trust you. I trust you to handle it your way. I'm excited to see what you're going to do. I believe. There's something you and the Lord need to deal with. Now's the time. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And Father, I'm thankful. So thankful that every time we come to you and pray, you speak to us and you love us and you forgive us when we confess our sin. And Father, tonight, as we go from this place, let us be mindful to praise you for the things you're doing in our life, to turn over to you the things we're so uncertain of and concerned about, and trust you that you're going to handle things as you see fit, and we'll praise you when you're through in Jesus' name. Amen.